Welcome, everybody. Let me introduce you to our speaker. Our speaker today is a long-time television producer and host living and working in South Miami. She describes it as a profession and passion for over 35 years. Her most recent produced and hosted, she recently produced and hosted the show Art Street for WLRN Public Television, which is possibly closest to our BBC in the UK, which for 11 years has taken viewers to theatres, museums, galleries, and other cultural venues with stories of artists and the creative process. Meredith recently retired from public television, but now works as an independent media and events producer, working on projects that involve transformation and community building. I could actually easily go on and list the number of successful programs and insightful documentaries that you, Meredith, have hosted and produced. But just to mention the Emmy-nominated series, Enlighten Up South Florida. Is that correct? Have I got that? And it showed the public how they could bring about more balance, wellness into their lives. Meredith, as she said earlier, when we were chatting, fell in love with broadcasting the moment she first set foot inside a television studio. Her first work on a nightly live television program allowed her to interview numerous local and national personalities, including Tennessee's Williams, Luciano Pavarotti, Madeleine Albright, Sophie Loren, Jane Seymour, and the list goes on. Meredith Port is joining us from Miami, and we've invited her to speak on the art of loving and letting go. You'll be able to put your questions to Meredith after her talk. Just send the questions in through the question and answer link, and I will put those questions to Meredith on your behalf. Meredith, thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Artie. It's been a pleasure getting to know you over the last couple of weeks. And when I immediately said yes, of course, when you asked me to be on your program. And then I started thinking, what am I doing? I'm not a therapist. I'm not an expert or a psychologist. And here I am, I'm gonna be talking about love and letting go. Am I doing the right thing? You know, I thought about that. I thought, well, maybe a therapist would be better. And then I thought, you know what? I feel like all I can give you is, and I feel very much from, you know, my heart, is experiences and how I have learned this topic over the last 35 years. And it has been, as they always say, right, a journey. It's, you know, you start out and you think life is good, everything is good, career is good, family is good. And then as I started to meditate, and that was over 35 years ago, I began to see that, well, maybe things aren't, you know, could be improved. And I wasn't, when I went to the to learn to meditate, I was going because someone that I worked with dragged me there. We were doing a live show. He was a director of the show. And he said, you and I are so stressed. He said, you just jump when the phone rings. And the phone used to ring a lot because we didn't have the email and all that and texting. And he says, you're hyper. And I said, well, I'm doing a live show every night. What do you expect? And you're directing. I mean, isn't that normal? I thought that was normal behavior, that life was just stressful, but I thought that I was happy. I mean, I didn't feel, I was married and I had a daughter who's grown now, about to have another baby. And I thought life was pretty good, but somehow something made me go to the meditation center. And then it's almost like something just opened up when I started to meditate. And I again went in search of, you know, not knowing that I was searching for peace, or just for to be calm and not be affected by everything. But what I got once I started meditating and I realized how little I was, how rarely I was calm, you know, it was more doing a nightly show. It was always like the next show. You get home at night and you're studying for the next show. And that was exciting. You know, as Arti was saying, it was an exciting career that I had for so long. And I loved it. So I can't say, oh, it was bad. I certainly have nothing to complain about. But I feel like I didn't have that sense of calm. And that's why I started meditating. But what happened was I began to see that it started to improve my life. For one thing, my relationship with my husband was, you know, was a good relationship. We actually were just married, but there were these little conflicts in the relationship. And I realized a lot of it did have to do with me. For instance, I loved, you know, nature. And in those days we had a lot of woods. There was an area in South Florida where you could go, or actually apple trees and orchards where you could go horseback riding. I know you have much better in England, but for horses, but that was our place. And I loved horseback riding, and out west I had horses, and I would want to go horseback riding when I was first married. And he loved football. He loved sports. And he'd say, no, I'd rather watch a football game today, or I'd rather, go play tennis. We did play tennis, but I remember getting irritated and, you know, annoyed. Well, you won't go with me. And this marriage is about everybody doing everything together, doing the things, same things together. And I would get, you know, agitated. I guess that was like my way then. I'd like to think I changed. So as I started to meditate, first of all, I realized it wasn't just about meditating or being peaceful. It was about improving relationships. Relationships with who? With not just your significant other, not just your family, though all of this, you know, was affected. The people that you work with, even just strangers, you know, could be calling customer service and I would get angry if, you know, or irritated if I had a problem and they weren't helping to solve it. So what happened to me was I began to see, and it took time and it took this looking into myself to see how many things, it's almost like I wanted to control things and in my life, in relationships. And I began to see that it wasn't all about me. I mean, not that I was the most selfish person in the world. I just, I want this or I want that. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm just talking about often there would just be these little conflicts and then they'd go away. So you might be thinking, well, what's wrong with that in life? You know, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's life, isn't it? I've come to see that life can be different. There can be just something more, a give and take that, okay, it's, you know, I can be fine now if my husband passed away, and I'll talk about that later, but he recently passed away. But what I started to see was that and that's how we began to live, which took time. You want to play tennis? That's fine. That's great. Okay. But I want to go horseback riding, and that's it. And that's how we began to live. And it wasn't like that. I remember when I wanted to take trips to meditation retreats and things, he would say, you know, he wouldn't want me to go. Or he'd say, well, you know, we could go away for the weekend and we could do this. And I would go, no, this is important to me. And he began to change little by little by little. And I mean, those are little situations, but there have been some very big situations in life. You know, things come up when you're married for a long time, or even whether it's how you raise your child. I have one child, but, and what happened was I just began to be so much more aware of the other person and his needs and the fact that, and really harmony to me has become my way of loving, I think, or part of a loving relationship, where harmony in your house is more important than getting your way. And often something would come up and it would just be, okay, let's just be peaceful about it. Let's just talk about it and get it out and discuss and see what's the best way for us. And what I saw was that life got so much easier. I wasn't exerting so much energy into I want. And I really think that many people, when they have love in their lives, you know, or achieve love, often they want to be loved more than give love. You could debate this with me and disagree, because I think there are people that are just giving naturally. But often it's, again, it's our desire, my desires are being met, and I want to take this vacation and the other person doesn't want to go there. And we've had that too, you know, certain things that he liked to do. Again, it was all about not desires, but I learned to just, that word, accommodate, you know, to say, okay, it's no problem. Let's do this. And there became just a give and take, and so much more respect for each other. It wasn't just really with doing things either. It was opinions. My husband was a lawyer, and he could, you know, out-lawyer me, right? I mean, lawyers, they can be, they can win. And he was used to that. So if I had an opinion, even a political opinion, I'm a TV producer, so you'd think I'd be pretty good with that. But he always knew the facts, and more than I did, or was more interested in the facts of maybe something going on like in politics today. And so instead, you know, often it would be that kind of, again, it wasn't anything big, and there's nothing wrong with being natural. And I want to address that too, because I think it's very important to not feel like you have to have this perfect relationship and perfect life. But I began to see, as I meditated and studied and began to see how meditation is connected with changing myself, you know, and improving myself. And those are kind of little things, but things come up in life and we never know when they're going to come up. You know, sickness can come up and finance can come up. I mean, we all have things that, family situations. And what I started to learn and experience was there was a different way to live. And there was a much more loving, respectful, an easier way to live. And I've always been a believer in easy. In, you know, maybe you think, well, that's good or bad. Sometimes it's good for things to be difficult. But I like things to be in flow, and I want things to be in harmony in my life. I don't want difficult situations, and I want everybody to be happy. And it has to do with cleaning the heart. And I think that's part of love and letting go, is letting go of the bad that are still blocking the heart, the emotions. And we all have past memories and situations that we think we don't have, and we think we're just fine. I know I thought I was just fine, because I thought I was a pretty well-balanced person and pretty normal. But what I started to find as I meditated was there were things that were coming up that, because that's what happens when you really go within and you start to see, I don't like to use that word defect, but maybe the little things in your life that kind of keep you from progressing and moving forward in your life. And what came to me, and it took some years of meditating, was anger. I remember actually when I first started meditating, I said, when I learned about anger being kind of not a good thing, I said, well, I'm not an angry person. I never get angry. In fact, I said, I get a little irritated, but I'm not an angry person. I said, but other people are angry, have been angry in my life. And I felt that other people had hurt me in my life, not anything terrible, but the more that I really worked on myself, what I began to see was that I had absorbed some of other people's anger in my life, like a particular family member who would blow up and get angry about something, and then they'd be fine. They would be fine, you know, an hour later, but I was a child, and they'd be loving. They were very loving, and I would feel it, and I would hold it inside me. And as I got older, as soon as someone would even criticize me, I would get hurt. And it built up, where I realized when I started going within and start to take a deeper look at yourself and begin to see what you're all about and what it is that energizes you, what it is that holds you back in your life from being loving. And I love the idea of being loving all the time. I mean, that's heavy. It's a big order, isn't it? And I don't think I'm there yet, but I think I've certainly, you know, tackled some big issues and things. And one was the hurt, that I realized I had to let go of any hurt. And it helped me so much in my working life, because you know, Artie was talking about television being so great and exciting, especially, you know, learning where you learn in television. But what career doesn't have relationship problems, right? And what I found over many years, took me some time, was that most people were not unhappy with the work that I worked with. Often it wasn't that they didn't love what they were doing. They all did. Most of the people that went into public TV, they wanted to do good. They loved, you know, what they did. But often it was what kept them back, and myself, was relationships with each other. You know, you don't like someone, you don't want to work with them. You like someone else more, you'll do anything to work with that person. I could really write a book of the conflicts that I saw with some very, very intelligent people when they couldn't get along with somebody, and or they couldn't even get along with people we were working with, you know, flare-ups and people getting upset and people walking out, you know, and all kinds of things. I don't know if it's like that in your life and your career, but those things happened. And I started to see how harmony in my work life was so important. When I was doing this live show, that was my first live show that I did for 13 years. Then I went on to do a public affairs show, and that had its own controversies because it was all about issues. But the first show, the live show, there was tension, as I said, because there was, you know, it was live every night. And I, you know, you had to go on. You know, it's the only time in my life I think I was perfect with timing. I don't think I ever came on late, but, you know, you had to be on, and that was it. But I saw how people didn't respect each other. People brought their problems to work, whatever was going on at home, they would be unhappy with if they had a situation. And so I started to learn how to get along more so with people. I'm not saying I wasn't getting along with people, because I think that I've always, you know, enjoyed people and respected people. But I just, to give an example, I remember that I had a supervisor who, she was always criticizing whatever you did. Not, wasn't just me, it was everybody. And everybody knew that. You would have to take your work before her. And that was more when I was producing tape programs, you know, that like out in the field, we'd be all over in the community and documentaries. And you would know that five people could have looked at the show before and said they loved it, five supervisors, but she was the head one. And she would look at it and just start nodding her head. And you go, what is wrong with, you know, and that's your baby when you're working on a show for a long time, months or a year, you know, that's your baby. I mean, somebody's looking at it like, not good, not good. I used to feel like I wanted to cry practically. And she would do that, and she would nitpick and then force you to go make changes, something I never like to do. I don't mind little changes, but I never wanted to have to revamp a show, especially when I thought it was good. And I don't know if that's ego, but I think it was more everybody that works, you know, in whatever field you're at, we all think, right? We know the best way, and we're open to learning, but we don't want to really change. I don't know how you feel, but that's how I was. I don't really want to change everything. So one day, I don't know how it came up, and and this is much later, you know, in my career, and I asked her, I said, I don't know what I said, you know, why do you always criticize everything? And it wasn't just me, everybody felt that way about her, but you still had to go, before her and hear what she had to say, and you'd have to change it. And I remember she said something that just touched my heart. She said, because I want the best for you. I want you to be the best producer that you can be. And I'm only giving you these, you know, this advice or these directions because I can see the whole picture. And that's all I want for you, is to be better. And guess what? I became better. I became better at what I did. And as soon as I heard her say that, my heart just melted. It was like, here I was judging her. And again, as I'm saying, I wasn't the only one, you know, she had issues. She's very, very capable, very smart. And I learned something. So I think relationships is about looking at others and learning from them. And so not judging people that you work with or that you live with. We don't know what's going on in people's heads. We really don't know. And so what I have learned is to stop in my relationships and listen. So, I mean, my relationship, when there's a situation, say, And instead of being the one to do all the talking and being the one to often justify whatever I did, is to just listen and hear them and realize that maybe there is another way, to be open. So I think this is important for me. And, you know, in terms of, and I hope that you're understanding this, is like, not that you don't understand it, but that you're resonating with this, in that listening to others is often more important than talking to others, talking at others. My daughter used to say when she was little, she would say to me, and I was learning all of this, so she was still saying, she would say to me, don't talk to me, talk with me. You're not talking with me, you're talking at me. And I think that's often what people do. We all, especially in a work situation, you know, you go to a meeting, maybe now it's a Zoom meeting, and everybody has an opinion, and often, excuse me, you know, there's this conflict, and there's this almost everybody wants to talk over the other. We all want, what is it that we want, right? We want recognition, don't we? We want to be recognized for who we are and for what we have to say. And I love, you know, I'm sure maybe you knew of Larry King, who just passed away, and, you know, considered one of the greatest interviewers, which was always so interesting to me because he just sat there. He didn't talk much and he just listened. You know, he just looked at people. He didn't have to be in the spotlight. He was in the spotlight, but for so many years, he was so famous by just listening. And I read after he passed a few weeks ago, he said that he always listened, he said, because he learned. He said he never learned anything by being the one that was talking. And I wish I would have learned that younger, when I was younger in my career, because I learned the opposite, actually, at the beginning. I was, influenced by, I don't know if you know the name Barbara, because she hasn't been around for quite a few years, but Barbara Walters was like the hero of people in television, interviewers. And, she was the hero. And that was the role model for my generation, to be like Barbara Walters. So I would watch her intently and see how she would be so forceful with people, be so controversial, be not very gentle. And I tried to be like that. And it took me years. I mean, I was trying to be like someone else. And that's the worst thing that we can do. We can look at people and say, well, let me learn something, but not to be like that person. It took me some years before I realized the old adage, be yourself, right? Just be yourself in your relationships. Don't try to be like someone else. Look at people's good qualities and their talents and maybe absorb some of them. I think that's a good thing. But all of us are unique and we have something to offer. And if we're trying to be like others, what I think that means is we're not content with ourselves. And that's a whole other thing that I feel like I learned, you know, through my journey about relationships, was contentment, to be totally content with not just who I am, but where I am in my life. And at the beginning, again, I go back and I wasn't necessarily so content in my early years. I wanted the show to be bigger. I wanted the show to be better. I always had something that was, you know, I was kind of, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to move forward, but I think there was like a lack of contentment, even looking to see if I could get a bigger job it didn't have anything to do with money. You know, it was really more experience job. Not experience, but a more just at a different level or whatever. And what I have come to see in my life was that every single thing in my life has come for a reason. Even the meditation part was someone that I worked with got me into it. Not that it couldn't have happened somewhere else, but the path of my life has been like each thing has led to the next thing and to the next thing. And so there's a reason for everything. We all have this, like, you know, we use the word over and over again, but it's so powerful to me, this destiny that we're all destined for things, you know, to have things happen. And just another example was, I was earlier, if some of you were on before we started, with the astronaut when RT was asking me about one of my favorite interviews. I did a show with him on science and spirituality. It was with him and Deepak Chopra. He helped Deepak Chopra get his first seed money to be able to do what he was doing. And he was famous, but he wasn't the household name that I guess he is now in the spiritual world or whatever, meditation world. And my show was canceled, the nightly show, and I had to do this public affairs show, which I did not want to do. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want a controversial show. I was supposed to have people that are angry and show their views, kind of like what we've been seeing in American politics on the local level. We had everything from immigration to smoking versus anti-smoking people. People were fighting, and that's the more controversial it got, the better they liked, the happier the management was with my program. And here I was meditating and I'm looking for peaceful programs and inspiring programs. And then I get this assignment to do this regular public affairs show, very angry show. And I was sort of, you know, irritated and kind of, why do I have to do this? Not content. And now I can look back and say, I should have said to myself, there's a reason for this. There's some reason, and let me learn what I have to learn, because I really had not. I had done some public affairs, but nothing like this, having both sides on. And what happened was, through that show, I met the astronaut. I met the lunar astronaut and became he became a very important part of my life and my husband's life. And it was, you know, he, as I said earlier, really, really helped me understand things, not just spiritually, but in terms of the environment, ecology, what was important in life. I learned a lot from him. He was really working with the quantum physics, I think, not long before others, but along with others that were doing this. And we're talking about, you know, maybe like 25 years ago or something. And so I sometimes think to myself, look, if I hadn't done that show and I walked off and said, I don't want to do it. And I've seen people do that. They leave because they don't want to do something they're assigned to. If I had walked off or said, I'm not going to do this show, or just kept up, you know, being not content, I never would have met this man that had such an impact on my life. So each thing leads to another thing, to another thing. And that's very important to me, because it's like every relationship that we have is important, you know? So it isn't just about, we're talking about love and letting go things that are negative, letting go things that don't work for us. I'm not saying that we should stick with things that are causing us pain. I'm not saying that. There are times that you know, and that's when you go within. And that's, to me, part of my meditation practice is I go inside and I ask my higher self, what's going on here? You know, what am I feeling? Not just what am I thinking and why am I, you know, agitated or whatever. What am I feeling? And then the answer comes. It might not come that second, it comes later. And then a door opens and I go, aha, you know, that's why this happened, or that's why this situation happened with this person. And so you might be thinking, well, love, you know, these aren't your relationships at work aren't necessarily about love or your career, but they are. When you leave wherever you've been in your life, whatever you've done, whether it's work, anything, what do you really remember? Yes, you remember the, you know, the good things that happen, but to me, what I truly remember is the relationships. And what are relationships? They're about, it may be a different kind of love. There's different kinds of love, but they are about love, you know? And if we can just connect to people on a different, you know, on a different level and see everybody is there in our life for some reason, to show us something, to teach us something, to make life, you know, just to enlighten us on something. I think, because when you think about it, we probably spend more time in our life, or equal time maybe in whatever we do in our work, in our life, than we often do with our families. But of course, family is so important. And of course, I mean, but I want to share another thing about family and my husband, which is that I remember when we would have situations where we didn't agree on something. And I remember one particular one, And what happened to me was I started to do this. I don't know how I learned it or how I did it, but I would go into my little room where I meditated, the den, and I'd sit and I would tell divine energy, whatever you want to call supreme energy, consciousness, something higher, or even myself, my higher self, what the problem was. And I would spell it out, you know, saying, I'm unhappy with this, with my husband. We're having a difficulty about this. And he wouldn't be there. You know, I would just be meditating on this and coming from my heart and my deep feelings about what I was really feeling. And I would say it all. And then I would allow him to come, but he wasn't physically there. He was somewhere in the house. And I wasn't talking, so he didn't hear me. I would say, okay, now Barry, it's your turn. It's your turn to share whatever you're feeling about the situation. And I would allow him into the room, into my inner room. And he would give his explanation. I never knew what he was going to say. I didn't plan it. And suddenly it would be a lot of silence. And then suddenly something would come where I would hear his voice. And I probably heard his voice before, but I didn't listen. I wasn't listening to what he was trying to tell me. And then it would be like, we just came together in this meditation. And I felt, okay, we were both able to communicate our deepest feelings. And then all of a sudden, what would happen, this happened more than once, he would just maybe a half hour later come in and just say to me, oh, you know, I'm so sorry. I didn't know you felt that, or let's work it out. This is not difficult. Let's just work it out. You know, we'll be fine together, you know, working this out, and give me a hug or whatever. And it would be like, would be over. The situation would be over. So that's something that I've used in my life, where I give my problem or my situation to my higher self, or to, you know, to me, to higher energy, to divine energy, whatever you believe in your life. And then let that other person share theirs. And I think there's this communication happening on a much deeper level, and something changes, something shifts. I love shifting. You know, I think there was a movie, right? A New Age, or, you know, some kind of the shift. I never saw it, but the shift where we are shifting with our higher consciousness. And again, as I'm saying, if I think that if we're not moving forward and becoming more content, becoming happier, becoming just more present in our lives, how can we really, really have loving relationships? Because there's stuff, you know, there's some stuff in there that needs to be cleaned out of the heart. And we don't want to go through life with these issues, you know, even though we might think it's nothing. Some people just, they're used to it. Some people crave it. They like difficulty. They like controversy. And that's okay if it's healthy. And I was reading about, you know, the actor Mandy Patinkin. I don't know, it was in the New York Times the other day, last week or so. And he and his wife, you know, he was the one on Homeland, the star of many shows and everything. Amazing actor. His wife is an actress. And it was, the whole story was about, they have this dysfunctional loving relationship that they fight and they get angry. And in fact, they're doing a whole YouTube thing. It's very successful. They fight, they get angry. They've separated a couple of times in their years and years of being married, but it works for them, you know, because I think it works. And he's very moody, but I think it works for them because they love each other so much. So if that love is there, then maybe you have your own way of, you know, arguing or having difficulty. But as soon as you see that it's not loving, and it really is hurtful, because people get hurt in relationships. And that to me is, I don't want to hurt anybody in my work, when I was at work. I don't want to hurt people in the things that I'm involved with now. And it's very easy to be hurt, and it's easy to hurt others unknowingly. But there is the knowing part. I mean, we don't want to say things to people. Words are so important, what we say to somebody. So, I mean, maybe an example would be somebody did something, you know, you're working with someone on a project. I work on a lot of projects. How did I do, or what? I mean, even if you didn't feel that they did the best job, just blurt out what you say, and you hurt them because you feel, well, I have to be honest, and honesty is the most important thing. I don't think so. I don't think if there's hurt involved, there's sometimes honesty, but it has to be honesty with love and total respect. And the more that we can look at each other all, you know, as spiritual beings, that we're all spiritual beings and we're all brothers and we're all sisters, then I think, and respect each other for who they are, even when we don't agree. And that's the hard one, isn't it? When we don't agree with what another person's saying or doing. Sometimes it's necessary where you have to speak up. It doesn't mean, again, like I'm saying, it doesn't mean that, oh, you just stuff everything in and you're the victim. And I was the victim a lot in my earlier life. I felt as if, like I said earlier, people would hurt me, but I didn't, you know, I tried not to hurt people, but that's not the way to good, healthy relationships. So it took me time. It took me a lot of time, you know, to learn and grow. And I just think that I'm in a much better place now. And I think that all of these things that I've learned really, really improve relationships. And I wanted to close with just saying that one of the most amazing things to do with love and letting go came into my life when my husband actually got very sick a year ago, a little over a year ago, and then passed away a year ago. He was sick for a few months. And I think that we had always loved each other and our relationship really improved over many years and over, you know, us both changing and everything for the better. But the love that I feel that we shared at the end was unbelievable. And when I look back, I only have good memories of it. We just had so much. I realized I had to give of myself, and it wasn't all about me for 6 months. It was about doing everything that I could do to help him, you know, get better. And it was just nothing that there was like nothing else in my life for 6 months except meditation. I never missed my early morning meditation. That was very important to give me the strength and give me the power to keep going, because he was in and out of the ICU for 6 months before COVID. This was before COVID. So I could be at the hospital, you know, all the time. And it was really quite moving and loving. But it changed my life, you know, because I realized even in loss, even when you see someone you love suffering, and then you see that they do have to leave, they can't live in that body anymore, you just feel this overwhelming love, and I will never forget it. And so even in the loss, I recognize that it was, I was able to accept a lot of things, you know, as a result of, you know, seeing this. And I was able to get stronger when he left, when he passed away, not weaker. I had my weak moments, I had my sadness, but I didn't suffer. And that's another thing I don't really believe. And again, I've learned this all through, you know, my meditation practice and teachings, classes, and that I'm not here to be suffering. And so I didn't want to dwell on the fact that he was gone. I wanted to dwell on think about the good memories and think about moving forward, but with a lot of love. And so you have to know when you give love and when you have to let go. And so it's always this give and take in all of our relationships. And just, I think, awareness, a lot of awareness about who we are, why we're here on this planet. You know, are we here to fight? Are we here to argue or to be sad and angry or feel like victims? Or are we here just to give and to love and to care about everyone? And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight, but I like the journey. I really do. And I hope that you understand what I'm saying. And I'm sure that in a lot of ways, you probably experience these things in different ways yourself. So I thank you. I thank you so much for inviting me through Artie to be with you and to be part of this program. And I know that I always learn something from just having to talk, you know, because the more that I can get out whatever it is that I'm learning, and I do always have this desire to be able to share it. And I feel that whoever needs to get it, there'll be something. And I hope that was the case with you. So thank you so much. Oh, I think it's time for me to do a meditation. We will now just kind of maybe let go of all these thoughts and things that might be going on in your mind, looking at your own life, and just evaluating, I think, maybe just a drop, take a thought or a feeling and say, what is it that I can do to make life better when it comes to love, relationships, and even letting go of whatever has to go? What is it that I can do? I am a being that can grow. I can grow and I can become better. I do not have to be stuck and be the same as I was even yesterday. Every day I'm growing, I'm flourishing, and I'm learning. I'm learning about myself. I'm learning about others. And I'm learning how to have beautiful relationships, connections. Isn't that what life is all about? Connecting with others, even if it's for a moment of a situation where you just somehow connect with somebody. Could be in a store, could be in the street, wherever. Just a moment, and I can grow from all of this. And I look at my life and I say, yes, I am growing. I am flourishing. And the more love that I bring into my life, the more love that I'm able to give to others and also take from others, the better that I become, the more happiness that I have. With more loving relationships, happiness spreads. And it spreads. And so wherever I am, I will feel that joy of connecting with others, of being able to just love others and respect. So it's more than just love, it's love and respect. So I'm able to just feel that right now, this feeling of lightness that I am, this beautiful being of light. And I'm capable of learning and capable of progressing. Life does not have to stop. Every moment, there is something new for me, something new to learn, a new experience, something powerful, something beautiful. Every day is invaluable. Every moment is completely invaluable. And I look at my life right now. I assess my life and I say, with all the problems that I might have or the challenges I might have or had, life is good. Life is good. Thank you for being here with me. I might not be able to see you, but I can feel you. I can feel the energy because energy travels. Energy, we're all connected through each other, energy, through energy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Meredith. Questions are coming in. They've started to trickle in. Do you believe that to love others, we need to love ourselves? Can we not start first with loving others? It's so much easier.
Well, I think we do have to love ourselves first. But if we wait and say, I'm going to wait until I love love myself, it could be a long time because it takes time to really love yourself. And that's a whole process. So you begin to love yourself and I think you work on it. But at the same time, I think we have to be loving others as well. You know, we have to be, you know, starting that process and starting to look at everybody with love, just seeing each person. And again, it doesn't have to be, oh, you know, I'm in love with you. Not like that. It's just a feeling of goodness, a feeling of compassion, of love. So there are, I don't want to say there's different levels of love. Love is love, but it's like an experience of love where we are living in love, you know, with our lives and with all that we do. So I don't think you have to wait until you totally love yourself because it could take some time.
Okay. Yeah. How do you let go of hurt?
Good question too. I think you have to see it when you're hurt, look at it. And I do that in my meditation and almost like just look at why am I hurt and try to get in touch with the feeling of what it is. And I mean, it doesn't require spending hours on it. And it's better, I try to do that kind of almost sometimes pre-meditation. It's not always part of my meditation, but just sitting in silence and going over, well, this happened and what did I feel? And often it'll have something to do with me, my reaction when I get hurt. I'll understand the other person, what they said, or maybe they couldn't control themselves or whatever. But I think that we can really minimize feeling hurt. Once we understand what's causing us to be hurt, then we go, oh, okay, you know, let me move on now. We don't want to hold on to hurt. Even if someone intentionally did it, we don't want to hold on to all of this. It's not good for the body or the soul or the spirit or anything. Not good for anything.
Mm-hmm. So do you have to analyze what's hurt you? How do you discover it without kind of reliving the hurt?
Well, you might relive it because I do that in silence with myself and I think about it. And I think, you know, this bothered me. This person said this and I didn't think it was very nice. And I do have to, it's not relive it, but sometimes I might relive it and just say, well, what was I feeling then? And I might feel, and it might go back to something that's deeper within me. Somebody said something to me just like that, maybe when I was earlier in life. And I'm holding on to that every time someone says something. What does it bring up? Oh, does it bring up I'm not good enough? Does it bring up people don't like me? You have to just let that emerge to get it out so that it's kind of like cleaning your house, you know, like under the bed. You have to clean it. You could leave it and it'll stay like that. Nobody will see it. And even you won't see it. But if you don't clean it out, it's going to be there, probably get more dirty. Dust and everything. So I think it's important to go through that process. If it's something little and you go, okay, no big deal. But if it's something that's affecting you, I personally think I need to work on it. And sometimes it might require talking to the other person in a very respectful way, not with anger.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. How to make your partner realize that he should be more considerate and less selfish?
That's a biggie. Well, I think there are times when you do need to, I think it's not good to be constantly criticizing somebody, you know, and that might require sitting down again with being in a very stable stage. I don't think people change when you get angry and scream at them or cry, or I don't think people get it. I think it has to be a heart-to-heart conversation. And that might be required. But I think maybe you can also look at it and think, well, how can you be, I'm not saying you're not considerate, but what it is you can do, or are they such little things that it doesn't really matter? You know, are they things constantly that he's not considerate about? But probably in this case, I would say maybe it does require a talk or a series of talks, but again, not making the situation worse. The worse things get, the more unhappy everybody gets. And again, it goes back to what I said earlier. Sometimes you know, we can't really change other people. I've heard this say by some wonderful teachers, you can influence people, but we can't always change other people. And so he might not be able to change yet. Maybe he's not ready to change, but you can change yourself and say, okay, it's not a big deal. I remember had a relative that said she felt it was so disrespectful that her husband would throw his clothes on the floor, his towels or whatever, and he wouldn't pick them up, you know? And she'd get really annoyed. And she said it's disrespectful and she'd be very angry. But she tried and he didn't listen. And, you know, he didn't respond. You know, he didn't change. So are you going to get angry every time, or are you going to just maybe kick the clothes into the closet, his closet, if he has his own closet, and you don't see it and you don't get annoyed? Maybe once in a while you say to him, please, could you please put the clothes in the hamper or whatever. But if you have to do that every time, you're getting angrier and angrier. Is it worth it? Are some little things worth it or not? That's how I decide. That's how I come up with things in my life. A lot of times it's not worth the fight, really.
Interesting. Pick your fights when you need it.
And again, we don't believe in fighting, right, Artie? But, you know, pick your, you know, your, what do you want to call them, right?
Sometimes, you know, they're,
what?
Conversations.
Yes.
Conversations, yeah.
Yeah, your challenges, conversations, pick them. What's worth, you know, yeah. Putting attention to it.
All right, next question. How do you find the courage to move on in love if you feel like you're ready, but you also feel unable to take the first step due to previous relationships?
So to move on in love, because you're saying that you're afraid, I guess.
Part of you is ready and part of you is still a bit afraid or unable to move forward.
I think you have to trust your higher self. And if you're really feeling you're not ready, maybe you're not ready yet. And so I always feel I will know when something's right in life, whatever it is. And I've had this situation, maybe not your situation, but in life where something's not happening and I can't make it happen. And then what I do is I give it up and I say, you know what, at the right time, it will happen. And sometimes you could ask yourself, say, well, is there something causing you, you know, not to be able to move forward, or is it just not the right time? And I really do believe in trusting our higher selves. And that requires, again, going inside, sitting in silence, not a lot of talk inside the head, really slowing down the talk to just a little bit. And not letting the mind just keep going and going, is really trying to figure out what it is required right now in your life. And maybe it's not, maybe it is. Yeah.
So what exactly are you doing when you sit in silence? If you're not having a blank mind and you're not being over analytical, what are you doing?
Well, what I've learned from meditation is to really try to sit in peace, or sit with the feeling of love, or, you know, pick something, you know, one of the just the qualities, the whether it's purity, happiness, and just focus on that and really just try to really just be in silence and feel the peace. Often like it's just, I am peaceful. I'm experiencing peace right now. And just keep not a lot of words, but if something comes in, I try to just let it go. And I think it's good if you haven't meditated. I think it's good. There's a lot of really good, commentaries. So you follow the commentaries, maybe about being peaceful, being serene, there's a lot. Artie, do you want to share any with them of some that you
recommend? I will make an announcement at the end, definitely, of possible meditations for people to join.
I think that would really be good because, it's not about blanking the mind because you can't. You can never stop the mind from going. The mind will just keep going, but you can slow down and really begin to focus on something. And just to focus and slow down your mind and really try to experience peace. And sometimes I'll just say to myself, I'm feeling peace right now. And sometimes I'm not, but as I begin to do that, I start to feel it. But there are these beautiful commentaries, and I know that Artie she knows what they are. And that is very helpful. So you have something to focus on. And then if you can also just put some beautiful music on and just say, I'm sitting here, I'm enjoying myself. I'm in the present. And it's good to have music, I think, too. That helps.
All right, lovely. The next question is, I've been in a long-term relationship with men before who end up showing me a different side later on that could be negative or manipulative. Mm-hmm. How do you see flags earlier before the changes happen so you don't get into the situation in the future?
Wow. I am a big believer that we do see these things. We just choose not to see them because we're so in love or like or whatever. And again, you know, we're not out to look at defects, but if there is something that needs to be seen, like you say, something that you really don't want in your life, then you kind of need to be careful, you know, about, again, it's not about disliking people or who you're bringing into your life. And so if it might be something very little that doesn't bother you, but if it's something big, you know, maybe it's, well, I can remember with my husband that we were on our way somewhere and suddenly he didn't have his wallet. And we were just going together at the time. And I remembered that he was so peaceful and he didn't lose his cool. And he needed his wallet. And he said, you know, we'll figure this out. It'll be okay. And he didn't get upset or anything. And I remember thinking I was quite young at the time. I said, that's a really good quality. I don't know if I use the word quality, but that he has, that he doesn't get. And he always was like that. He never got upset he got upset sometimes, you know, but he really was able to be very stable in difficult situations. I wouldn't say that's a difficult situation, but in situations. But if I saw him really get all upset and kind of, you know, really just lose it, I would have noticed that and say, let me see how he acts in other situations. Again, not to judge people. We're not judging people, but, you know, if you're looking for a relationship, I think that you want to make sure that, you know, is a person honest? Is a person trustworthy? I mean, there are qualities that we look for in relationships. And everybody's got some defects, let's face it. Nobody's going to find anyone perfect, and we're not perfect. So we can't expect perfection. I mean, just that's not going to happen. And things will come up. Things will come up even so, but just to be a little careful, I think. Be aware.
Yeah, be aware. Yeah. Is letting go the same as forgetting? I could forgive someone for any hurt they've given me, but mm-hmm. I don't forget it. Should I forget it? And is there a way to kind of erase it?
Oh, I can't believe you're asking this because I want to say that I know who's writing that, but I think he's not watching the program now. He's working, but we had a discussion about this a few weeks ago, and he said, he's a meditator, very serious meditator and very spiritual. And he said he can't, he can forgive, he said, when people do bad things to him. And he's in business and he's had things happen to him, you know. And he said, I can forgive, but I won't forget. You know, he goes, I'll remember it, you know, like, because for the next time, I don't want to be, I would say ripped off again or something, somebody disrespects me again. But now I understand that. And I sort of feel the same way. It's very hard to forget when somebody has done something, but you can forgive, understanding that it was something that they, their weakness or whatever, or they didn't know any better, or you can forgive quicker than forget. I have seen amazing spiritual people that are so evolved that they do forget totally. I think that's the aim, to forget. But somehow, I mean, I've seen very few people that just forget everything. I think there's still some of that in there, but eventually I think the aim should be to forget it. Like, forget it. Is it really important that this happened 10 years ago and the person did this? And I mean, unless it's something very, very dangerous, then you don't want to forget it. You don't want to get involved again with that. So forgive, it's easier to forgive quicker, I would say. It takes time to forget.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, the next set of questions, actually the very next question is, are there any books you would recommend about love and self-love?
Well, it's funny you say, seeing Mike George, who's come to Miami many times and spoken, and I really like that book, and I have that book in my library. But as you say, it's not about necessarily a relationship, but I hope that that's what I was saying too, in a way that it's, you know, it's not just about relationships with everybody. It's really about creating love in your life all the time, you know, with everything. So, but I would recommend his book. when I recommend a book, I haven't read a book on relationships in a long time, to be honest with you. I can't say, you know, there's so many books out there now. I mean, we know, but I would be very careful about, you know, I don't know, sometimes people have their, you know, they might have their opinions about something based on a lot of therapy or whatever. I think you can learn from everyone. So I can't really recommend one book. Sorry.
Okay. No worries. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's the next question. What do you do if you find that you are very loving verbally and expressive, but the other person or your partner is not?
Well, that's how life is. Everybody's different. So I think you can't really change somebody like that. I don't think. I think some people are expressive and then other people are very quiet and maybe more inward. And, you know, there are sometimes little ways that you get a person to be more responsive or people, but I think everybody is the way they are until they're ready to change. So I don't ever try to, you know, if someone were trying to change me, I wouldn't like that. Think about yourself. Would you want someone to say, oh, you should be more of this, or you should be more outward, or you should be more, I would rebel against that. Anybody trying to change me or push me into anything. So I try not to, unless, you know, you're a parent with children where you have to teach them values and teach them what's right and wrong. And unless, you know, and again, teaching them by example. It's not so much what you say. I don't always think that's a good idea to try to change, affect a person's personality or the way they respond. I don't think. Again, that's my experience. And I just really, really work on not trying to change other people and tell people what I think, how they should be, because I don't like that for myself.
Mm, mm. It's a nice gauging point. Would I like to be treated in that way?
Mm.
And if not, then why would I do it to somebody else? Mm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Is there anything you think would be good to work on before entering a new relationship?
I think contentment. I think to be so content in my life that I don't need somebody else to give me that. And then if you're supposed to enter into another relationship, I don't know if you're ready to, it's going to be much healthier. I just believe in healthy, all, you know, not everybody. And again, I wasn't really focusing this program on just one relationship. I mean, I really feel that it's about just all the relationships we have with people. Think of what a day is like, right? I mean, or was before maybe COVID. Now we're, you know, often in our homes and everything, but even, you know, other ways of communicating with people. I think that all relationships are valuable and important. And so I remember someone telling me something years ago. They said, well, he was, the man was a great businessman, you know, very, very successful, but he was very disrespectful to people and took advantage of people. And somehow the comment came up, I was much younger, and comment came up was, but he was wonderful to his wife. Well, I never really bought into that. I think if you're disrespectful to people, you're probably going to be disrespectful in some ways to your family too, or controlling or something. You know, you can't treat people, some people one way and other people another way. It's going to come out. So I don't know. I think the basic thing is, like I'm saying, is to have good relationships. It's work on yourself. And just say, you know, I'm on that. That's what I love about this whole process. It's not just, oh, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to relax, now I can go off, you know, relax, meditate for 15 minutes, it's over. It's really, meditation is about self-change. That's, to me, that's my take, you know, on it. And that's what it's been like for me. So it's not just sitting in meditation to get away. It's beginning to see yourself as your higher self, your better self, your more loving self.
Mm. Mm. Thank you. And the final question I've got for you this evening is, the word love can be used to talk about many things that may not be healthy, like possessiveness, for example. What other words can we use to check that the love we are expressing is healthy?
So what other words can we use to know that, I guess you're saying to know that?
To know, yeah.
I think we know when we're expressing. I think you just have to, again, I always call it kind of self-check, check in with yourself. And if you're offending people and you're not treating people nicely, or you're criticizing people, criticism, I was just in a class actually, Artie was with Denise a few months ago, and it was so powerful about criticizing people is, you know, and she said that we all have to really watch ourselves. Criticizing people is very unhealthy. And usually it starts with a little bit of criticism and it gets worse and worse, where you're really putting people down and rejecting people. And so it's so many different things are involved when you're trying to be a better person. And why are we trying to do all this? We could just stay the same and say, this is the way I am, but we want to be happier and we want to be more, have joyful lives. And if we have bad relationships and we're not getting along, and I've seen some very spiritual people, you know, they think, well, I just have to meditate and study and, you know, and then, but they don't get along with people. And that's, something's wrong if that's happening. We should be able to really get in. I'm not saying there aren't moments with people or such. There are people that sometimes you, it's another thing. You have to know when to let go. There are people that are not healthy for you. And you have to know, and there are toxic relationships, and you have to know at some point to ask yourself, is this something I let go, or do I keep trying and trying? At some point I've seen in my life, you know, I just say, and more, not necessarily in a one-to-one relationship, but just people in my life saying, you know what, let me let it go. I can be friends with them, but I don't have to be best friends because it's not a good relationship. So you have to know. You have to know when to let go.
Yeah. I remember us having a conversation. I don't know if it was this week or last week, Meredith, but
yeah,
the whole thing of when you have a friend that you've been very close to who has a very strong opinion, which you just don't agree with. You said something interesting. You said you wouldn't walk away from them. Can you
That's
kind of
different. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I had that. We did talk about it. And thank you for remembering. Yeah. There was a person. There is a person in my life, and we are just on two different sides, you know, politically. And they're very, very strong. Hello. I see someone just saying hello, Roz. Very, very strong about and opinionated about their beliefs. But some of them are pretty way out. They're not just even political. They get a little way out. And I was feeling really very uncomfortable, you know, and I was trying to, sometimes we try to debate. What I found was every time I debated and tried to give my opinion, it doesn't work debating, you know, unless you're on the debate team or something. It doesn't work debating someone about issues that are controversial and difficult, and everybody has what they believe in. And so what I came to was to just be quiet and let them talk, you know, and let them give me things that I thought were a little bit, they were even beyond politics. They were a little bit strange, you know, I don't know how else to say it. And I just sat and listened. This is somebody I've been friends with for a long time. And I just sat and listened. And then all of a sudden they somehow shifted. And because they're very spiritual too. And they shifted and they started talking more spiritually. And they went from those beliefs. You know, people are very complex. That was something I wanted to talk about today. People have all these issues and situations, and, you know, nobody's just one way, right? And it changed, the whole conversation changed, and we got more into things that were, to me, more, in a way, interested me, more spiritual things, and everything changed. Is that what I said, Artie, right?
Yeah,
that's what I feel. And sometimes when with people that you just don't agree on at all, it doesn't mean you keep quiet and stuff it in. It's sometimes give your opinion, but you know you're probably not going to win if somebody's very strong-minded and so opinionated. You can give your opinion because maybe you'll influence them, but you're probably not going to change them until they're ready to be changed. And that might be a long time, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But you know what? I said to myself, I don't want to just lose friends because we're not on the same page. Friends are, maybe you've been friends with people for many years in your life and you don't want to, you know, have a bad relationship with people that you do care about. So.
Yeah. Yeah. If we kept losing friends, we wouldn't have very few.
Right. For their opinions. Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you very, very much, Meredith. That was very insightful.
Thank you so much for letting me be part of your wonderful series that you have.